spots. You see this helicopter trying to put out that spot fire? It is flying incredibly low, just about 30 or 40 feet off the deck, and it's being buffeted by the wind. They're trying to help out the hundreds of firefighters on the ground here in Ventura County, California. The embers are flying. Weather conditions, however, expected to improve here.
But at one point early on, the fire, turbocharged by hurricane-force Santa Ana winds, burning 2,000 acres an hour.
It's like trying to put out a blowtorch with a squirt gun.
Reports of people trapped inundating police scanners.
I'm up here with them, trying to get them up, but it's heavily impacted by fire.
Well, good morning. You're listening to Asheville FM at WSFM LP 103.3 Asheville. Welcome to the Climate Buzz. I'm Bob Hanna.
And I'm Brad Rouse.
And we're committed to sharing with you the stories, the people, the science, the challenges, and the solutions for a warming planet. It's November 11, 2024, and the current level of global carbon dioxide in our atmosphere is 423.58 parts per million, up from 419.2 on this day in 2023.
Yeah, or whatever. But, anyway.
We're going to talk a little bit about those election results, but first I want to introduce our guest today, the executive director of Riverlink, Lisa Raleigh. Riverlink was founded 35 years ago by Karen Craig-Nolan and promotes the environmental and economic vitality of the French Broad River and its watershed for all. Lisa will be she's going to be sharing her thoughts about the impact of Hurricane Helene on the watershed, as well as the challenge and opportunities to rebuild the watershed for our future influenced by climate change. And Lisa, welcome to the Climate Buzz.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so good to have you on the show. And it's been quite a week. This is our first Climate Buzz since the elections results started to come in on Tuesday. Tell us, Lisa, why did we get so much water and flooding? What is it about our unique geology and the way the water moves through this valley that created this?
Yeah, it was pretty extraordinary. Because the region is still relatively new to me, I'm only in my fourth year here, that this situation let me do a really deep dive. I have an undergraduate degree in geology, so I'm fascinated about that. If you haven't had a chance to see, I think it's called the Geo Models, but they've got a YouTube channel, and these are scientists that put these like 30-minute segments on in every man's layman's terms. And it was extraordinary. I watched an episode on why did the French Broad River in Swannanoa flood so badly during Helene. And when you understand the geology here, there's like two main factors going on. One has to do with usually mountain rivers, like in Colorado, a mountain river will be very narrow and high energy at its origins. But as it descends and hits valley floors, it opens up, floodplains, dissipates, widens, and its energy is really reduced. And then the river ultimately makes it to another wide valley floor river. But here, like the French Broad River in particular, it comes out of its headwaters and its originating forks down in Transylvania County and Rosman. And as it flows, you know, it's unique because it flows north. But it flows through the Hendersonville and Henderson County and Mills River area, and it really widens up because there's a lot of ag there. So the river can actually flood and go out into big floodplains. But the geology is so unique. In the French Broad's journey north, it has to be reconfined and drop into the Asheville Basin, which holds it much more narrow. And then ultimately, when you think about Marshall or Hot Springs, when you drive to Marshall,
you descend
and the valley is really narrow. But that river, meanwhile, has picked up the Swannanoa River, all the other inputs. And so in this particular storm event,
you know, how do we understand the economic impact and opportunity here?
Yeah, and it's such an important and big question. I think Karen recognized very early on, and it's maybe a little bit to the national political conversation we were just having. If you want people to really care for something like the French Broad River back in the 80s when it was incredibly polluted and defined by industry and really neglected, she recognized if you tie the environment and the economy together, people will come and invest in a way, and then they'll steward and care for it. And so that was how the River Arts District truly was born. And you had all these legacy buildings from the industrial days that were completely had, you know, were just dilapidated. And so you had this revitalization. And at the time, I think that made perfect sense because that was such a better use and celebration and care of the river. Now, on the wake of Helene, you lost many of those buildings, right? And I think I saw somewhere where maybe 80% of the artists have been displaced, either their studio or their point of sale. So as we think about building back, I mean, just a big advocate of, yes, like that economy is so important. The River Arts District is so important to Asheville and just defines so much of its character and just celebration. Can we build it back more resilient? And that's been what I've been thinking a lot about lately is I don't think we want to just build back everything that was ever down there, especially because so many of the buildings were lost because they simply weren't designed to survive something like that. Is there a way to build back and meet the need of the economy and the artists and to build in some resilience? Can we get some more
equity?
Well,
the other part, because a lot of those folks were down there because it was affordable.
It was affordable. And it was affordable because, you know, unless you had to buy flood insurance, probably.
Yeah.
And that's going to be hard. And let's remember, too, that gentrification starts even before that, right? I mean, back in the late 1800s and early 1900s, most of the people down in the River Arts District, you know, were people of color. And then so it begins with environmentalism and caring for that river and making that more of a vital place. There was some displacement and loss of that. And I think artists are often celebrated as being early adopters in places and communities that are still a little, you know, it was a little rough down there. That's going to be a huge part is affordability. And rightly so, if we're going to build back and there's all kinds of FEMA regs and laws, you know, you've got to build back to current code if you had more than 50% destruction of your building. And that's important, but that is going to raise the prices down there. And then the environment, like how do we protect the investments? The River Arts District is just fully in a floodplain.
Yeah.
And I think one thing we have to be careful of is when you get a 100-ish year, I mean, I know they were saying it was a 500 or 1,000 year event, but it was on the heels, 100-ish years on the heels of the flood in 1916. These floods are going to defy everything, right? Human invention.
Well, I was just reading the UN report about where we're headed climate-wise, and especially with the election, that the UN just put out a report says we're headed to 3.1 centigrade, which is what, 4.5 Fahrenheit, and
46.
We're now like at 1.5 centigrade, and by 2100. So my sense would be that we're going to see that this isn't going to be a 100-year event. We're going to move into where we have not 30 inches of rain, but 40 inches of rain every 100 years. And I'm just spitballing here. Okay. But